Greetings! Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And I must say, when we went to air last week, I was not aware that the damage and destruction of the hurricane that went through the southwest United States would be nearly as severe as it turned out to be. Because I'm jaded and cynical, and when I see headlines that say there's going to be an unsurvivable storm, I assume that someone is trying to make someone panic. And so the storm has turned out to be unsurvivable for at least a couple of hundred people. I would guess it'll be closer to 1,000 people when all is said and done. And so I've donated some gas money to the Cajun Navy, and I encourage you all to do the same, because we can't sit around and wait for the federal government to come and help us, or the state government, or even the city or the county. We just have to help each other, because we're free Americans after all. So, and we'll report on some of that, because there is some disturbing news in that vein. But I want to start from the widespread file with a shocking breaking news from this past week. Well, it was breaking back when it broke. This is from the widespread file. The Gateway Pundit is reporting that James O'Keefe and his infamous O'Keefe Media Group has released shock undercover video of a producer for MSNBC admitting that the network is doing all they can to elect Kamala Harris. That's right. O'Keefe had to go deep undercover to reveal this hidden secret at MSNBC. So I got to figure O'Keefe must be running low on shock potential, or he's off his game. Or maybe he can't talk his undercover agents into, well, you know, I don't even want to get into what they do because it's disturbing. Have you noticed? I've noticed, and so I'm just going to bring it up. I've noticed that whenever James O'Keefe breaks news, it's always with some homo in a bar over drinks. And so I remember when I met Lila Rose. Her and James O'Keefe cut their teeth together doing undercover work. And she had to part ways with James O'Keefe, and I asked her why. And she said he was willing to do things that I was not willing to do. And she left it at that. And I think James O'Keefe is willing to ask his minions to do things with perverts in a bar over drinks. That decent people shouldn't be asked to do. And hopefully the minion who broke this shock news didn't have to, hopefully he didn't have to go too far with the, I don't even know if this guy was a homo. He's a producer at MSNBC, so chances are it's a homo. So, that's a pretty weak effort for Mr. O'Keefe, especially considering what he might be putting at risk for all these breaking news stories. All right. So from there, we go to the insurrection file, where Tina Peters, a former county clerk in Colorado, who's almost 70 years old, has received a 9-year prison sentence for allowing 2020 election skeptics to replicate Dominion voting machine hard drives to check for evidence for fraud. That's right. So I have followed this story on and off. I don't know. Chances are Tina Peters, probably not my kind of person. Because, whatever, she's in government. So I assume that she's corrupted, and we probably wouldn't get along. And she's a Republican, which that automatically means we would argue about a lot of stuff. But apparently, Tina Peters was convinced that the 2020 election was stolen. Uh-huh. So on that, she and I would agree. And so what she did was she used another person's security badge to allow access to the Dominion voting machine equipment by a person who worked for Mike Lindell. And so here's the thing is Tina shouldn't have used another person's security badge to access. She should have used her own and put her own self on the line, because when you're doing right in the face of criminal activity, you have to be willing to risk your own neck, not someone else's. And because she used someone else's badge, she gave the government an opportunity. The government, who by the way, was seized by a criminally insane sex cult in Colorado, starting around 2008, I think, in Colorado. She allowed them the opportunity to get a hold of all the evidence, and now we'll never know what she was able to uncover, because it was all corrupted by the enemy who occupies the state government there. But she's going to prison for 9 years, and I don't want to hear her whine about it, and I don't want to hear anyone else whine about it. If you are fighting against the powers of tyranny and despotism, you should expect to go to prison. You should be glad that they're not just chopping your head off. She should take this as a badge of honor that she's going to prison. So she says she's innocent, and which she's not innocent. She broke the law in order to expose crime, and unfortunately, the criminal she was working against had more power and were wiser than she was. I think she's a relatively stupid, low-level bureaucrat functionary who didn't have the wherewithal nor the courage to actually do the right thing, and that's why she ended up in trouble. And that's the story of MAGA, by the way. MAGA doesn't have the wisdom or the wherewithal to save America. They're just going to bungle through against the rapacious enemy, but they're not going to get a whole lot done. The judge here in the state of Colorado, Judge Matthew, he opted for a harsh prison sentence because he said to Tina Peters, "I'm convinced you would do it all over again," calling her as defiant a defendant as the court has ever seen. You're as defiant a defendant as this court has ever seen. So, yeah. And of course, she should be. She should be defiant. She should say, "Yes, I'm guilty, but the only reason I had to break the law is because you're a bunch of criminals." But she's trying to keep herself out of jail, so she won't say that. So after Tina Peters' so-called breach of the election data, the super sacred, secure, totally 100% reliable election machine data that handed the 2020 election to Joe Biden in the state of Colorado and anywhere else, by the way. It's just suspect. It's not suspect. It was obviously stolen in broad daylight in front of God and everybody. And anyone who doesn't question it is irrational, stupid, or their supporter, or at least they're sympathetic to the criminally insane sex cult that seized power finally and utterly in 2020. After Peters' breach, the lawmakers in Colorado effectively outlawed the hand counting of ballots in favor of mandatory machine counting. They said the last thing we want is anyone to have the ability to look at any of this. We need to trust democracy. So they passed a law so that we trust democracy so much we're not even going to count the ballots. We're going to let the machines that the criminally insane sex cult bought, we're going to let those machines do it because we trust democracy. Okay, so there we have all that. Now, from there we go to the widespread tyranny file, where Gavin Newsom has signed a bill on something he should know something about, and that is hair styling. Gavin Newsom, being an expert in having his hair styled, has signed an unopposed bill requiring barbering, cosmetology, and hairstyling instruction and licensing to include, quote, all hair types and textures, unquote. This is the important business of the government of California passing rules on how to cut and style and manage hair types and textures. That's right. That's right. L'Oreal and other giant professional beauty schools and licensing federations like the Professional Beauty Federation of California, Bellis Academy, they all were in favor of expanding the rules regulating who cuts hair and how in the state of California. In California, to get a license to cut another human being's hair, one is required 1,000 hours of training. That's right. Now, the supporters of the bill, which are the cosmetology schools and the Beauty Federation and the Bellis Academy, they all were lobbying for an increase to 1,500 hours to accommodate the new curriculum to work in the new hair textures. 500 more hours. Because now we're going to cut a different texture of hair. Okay. So let's see here. California, so I have a quote here from, who is this from? A quote from L'Oreal. So, okay, let me do this and then I'll get to the point of all this. Why are you doing a story on hair, Doug? Well, I have a point. L'Oreal and Aveda, two other sponsors of the bill, spokespeople quoted saying, today it's possible for students attending schools to complete training programs without a full understanding of how to maintain, treat, and style a diverse range of hair textures. This can result in damage to the hair of clients from varying cultural and ethnic backgrounds, as well as such individuals being unable to obtain appropriate services from their stylists. The absence of inclusive hair education has implications for professionals and for the beauty industry as a whole. Which they spelled with a W-H-O-L-E, but they could have spelled it just H-O-L-E. The beauty industry as a whole. Why? Because the operation, the racket of the government and private industry together and the licensure of technical services like hair cutting and nail filing and teeth cleaning, the whole racket is, I just said it, it's a racket basically. And why is the Bellis Academy and Aveda and the Beauty Federation, why are they all sponsoring a bill with a bunch of bogus information about ethnic backgrounds and hair texture and inclusive hair education? Why are they making all this stuff up? It's about money. It's about making the state regulate what poor young people have to pay these criminal outfits, these educators, quote unquote. What poor young people trying to break into an industry to make a living have to pay these giant education rackets. You see, the education racket lobbies the state to write the law, and then it turns out at the end of the sausage making process, the giant academies who lobbied, they happen to have the curriculum that match perfectly what the state requires. And then students are fed into the giant academies who lobby the government for government guaranteed loans, and it's all just a big racket. When we should all be allowed to make agreements between free people to cut each other's hair. And if you don't do a good job at cutting people's hair, you won't be in the hair cutting business very long, I can assure you. The market itself can filter that out. Oh, but what about safety? What about, we already have criminal laws against negligence and assault. And we have laws to govern all this. We don't need to fund a giant racket built around Gavin Newsom's haircut.
You ain't rotten, filthy, stinking rich. Oh, yeah.
It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Was that Gavin himself? Did he have a cover band in the early 90s? All right. So let's see here. I predicted last week after the Israelis blew up. I forget who exactly they blew up. There's been so many, it's hard to keep track. Oh, yes, the direct descendant of Mohammed, Nasrallah there, the head of Hamas in southern Lebanon. After the Jews blew him up, my prediction was the Iranians will make some fake, phony, baloney attack. They'll say they're going to attack and utterly destroy Israel, and then they'll make some fake phony baloney attack. And what happened was, well, Iran launched another fake phony baloney political missile barrage. That thousands and thousands of missiles were launched, none of which hit much of anything at all. I have a story on it somewhere. I think I have a quote here from, do I want to go do this now? Here it is. Yeah, here it is. Iran's moderate president there in Israel, this is Breitbart. Oh, they put moderate in quotation marks, launched hundreds of missiles at Israel last Tuesday. The vast majority of them were intercepted by the David Sling and Iron Dome. A few missiles did get through this time. So a couple of military bases were hit. A Palestinian child was killed by the Iranian missiles. Allegedly, that could be disinformation. You can't trust anything anybody says once the missiles are flying. Let's see. The Israelis called it a completely ineffective missile barrage. Why was it completely ineffective? It was meant to be completely ineffective. The last thing the Iranians wanted to do was actually blow up something in Israel that would make the Jews mad and make them start blowing up their bedrooms there in Tehran. Folks, Iran is defeated if Israel and the West had the moral capital to just close the deal. But we don't. And it's really unfortunate. And so it's quite possible that a criminally insane sex cult that has seized Western civilization is going to allow a criminally insane pile of religious fanatics acquire a nuclear weapon and start blowing up the sex perverts who are going to start blowing up the mullahs. And it's quite possible because of the aforementioned lack of moral capital pretty much anywhere at this point. So, but I just wanted to point out that my prediction that Iran would not start World War III proved to be true, and so that everyone should relax and calm down. Just like it went to the grocery store, I saw that all the cheap toilet paper was gone. And so I was reminded of the spring of 2020, or was it the winter? Anyway, the winter. When I went to the store and suddenly all the toilet paper was gone, and I realized that, people are very close to getting to a panic mode over, I think everybody's just nervous. Everybody knows that there's another shoe that's going to drop before the election, because there's no way the powers that be are going to allow what's about to happen to happen. Because if you follow what's happening, there was a watershed moment, apparently, last night. Now, my extremely attractive audio engineer and I, we no longer have a television. And so we weren't watching Saturday Night Live, which we haven't watched in 20 years, I think. We haven't watched it in at least 20 years. But it is a barometer of Western civilization, as embarrassing as that is to admit, but it's true. And so apparently this past Saturday on Saturday Night Live, they were allowed to make fun of Kamala Harris and whoever the girl is running with her. I can't remember her name. But whoever that is, Saturday Night Live was allowed to make fun of them and laugh at them for actual real things that are worthy of laughing at them about, which that hasn't been allowed since 2008. And so it seems to me that the powers that be recognize, and I don't mean in the government, the cultural powers that be. I mean, why do you think Elon Musk has gone over to, why do you think Elon Musk has the MAGA hat on? Why do you think Zuckerberg came out as a, what did he call himself? A moderate libertarian. So he's no longer a froth at the mouth leftist, which he's been since Barack Obama conquered America. Now he's, because they're all aligning for the possibility that since the criminally insane sex cult have failed to kill Donald Trump, that he's obviously going to win the election. If the election is allowed to occur. And so they're realigning and aligning and trying to position themselves because they're all a bunch of craven, carnal, worldly scum, filth. They're filth. And they just want to be in a position to make money and be comfortable. Get their prescription drugs on time. That's what they're worried about. And so where was I going with this? I was going to go to the rally there in Butler, Pennsylvania, but I'll do that later because there's more news that's more, but I know you can't wait for Donald Trump news. And so I just want to stick some in there to hopefully carry the audience to the end of the show. So that my ratings don't decline and my ad revenue stays up. All right. We go from wherever I was to reason number 1,252 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Federal tax dollars are being funneled through state governments to schools to deal with the, in this particular case in Ohio, with all the Haitian immigrants that the government is purposely importing for some reason. And I know people on the right think that this is all a conspiracy to conquer America, to replace the white working middle class, right? To basically to replace the rednecks, right? And the rural people who live out there. They think it's a conspiracy, but I'm afraid it might not be that complicated or sinister. It could just all be about stealing money, massive amounts of money. Governor Mike DeWine says a few million dollars in federal money has come through what's called the School Emergency Relief and American Rescue Plan through those funnels that they've set up in order to deal with immigrants in the local public schools. Governor Mike DeWine says, quote, "We want all students across Ohio to have the resources they need to reach their full God-given potential." Oh, man, you shouldn't have mentioned God in that one, Mike. Oof. That's going to smart on Judgment Day, that one, boy. He says that due to the influx of migrants, he says he has no doubt, schools, he says, I have no doubt have been strained. These funds will help. He said, as he funneled millions of dollars through wherever he funnels them through till they get to wherever they're supposedly going to allegedly help. The money, by the way, as reported by justthenews.com, according to the people stealing the money, they say the money is expected to be used to help with essential learning programs. Really? Who expects that? Who expects this money to be used to help with essential learning programs? So all these migrants that are being imported, the millions and millions of people pouring over the border and then being resettled and assisted by NGOs, and it's all a racket for money. I mean, yes, it does end up accomplishing the end goal, or I shouldn't say even the end goal, the end result of replacing Americans with a bunch of third world migrants That does end up being the result, but it's not necessarily a conspiracy to do that. They've just set up a racket to steal millions and millions and billions of dollars. And as the bureaucrats within the government and the non-governmental charities, these 501c3s, as they see the racket, they start taking advantage of the racket, and then they tell other relatively lazy, stupid bureaucrats that this racket is available. And before you know it, within a few years, you've got millions of people pouring over the border because these bureaucrats are each making a buck or two off each one. And so I think that has as much to do with it as anything else. Just the sheer bureaucratic skim. I have a feeling that that has... Now, I'm not saying there aren't dark forces, communists and socialists, who've been at work since before I was born to replace Americans with third world indentured slaves. I have no doubt that's going on. And maybe that's why they set the racket up the way they did. That way they're not even responsible. It's every little bureaucrat who finds out they can steal just a little bit here and a little bit there. Not steal either. I'm being justly compensated for funneling the money. I'm moving the funnel this way and that way to help people. Didn't you read? This money is expected to be used to help with essential learning programs. That's what I'm doing. Okay, so there you have it. Meanwhile, while that's going on, well, let's see. Did I want to go to the northern border or to FEMA first? I go to FEMA first. Alejandro Mayorkas. So he actually went on camera last week, and he said that the Federal Emergency Management Agency will need more money to get through hurricane season. He said, after the very first hurricane, he says, we're running out of money. Okay. So now, what's that now?
Where is this?
Where? I would assume it's Washington, D.C. This is Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
Or the whole state is.
He says the Federal Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, is running out of money. No, they're out of money. Now, it was only the first, hurricane. But it was worse than anybody could have possibly imagined. I could have never imagined that a hurricane hitting in the Gulf would strand people on hilltops in western North Carolina. I must confess, I did not anticipate. Now, I would think that there are people in the government who would and should anticipate things like this, because the disasters and helping people in the midst of natural disasters, this one of the few things that the government, especially the federal government, is actually for. The government is supposed to be here as an infrastructure. They're supposed to have infrastructure and assets in place to prepare for natural disasters and military invasions and things like that. That's what the government's for crying out loud. And that's the one thing that they're not ready for, right at a critical point in history. Mayorkas goes on to say, we are expecting another hurricane. This guy's a genius. You're expecting another hurricane. That's, well, I'm glad you're on top of that. Congress gave FEMA $20 billion 15 minutes ago, and it's gone. The severity of Helene is expected to drain FEMA's reserves. Of course, they never worry about draining reserves because they just borrow more money, and no one's ever stopped them. So why actually be prepared? Anyway, there's a lot of rumors, and there's a lot of, rumors. There's rumors and rumors about what's happening with the federal government. I'm going to get to some of that. But the federal response here, or the lack thereof, on its face, if you're a cynical and you suspect that the government's been seized by a criminally insane sex cult intent on murder-suicide, you start to think that the federal response here appears to be a provocation. And just the latest provocation, by the way, against the rural people. It's almost as if the criminally insane who have themselves barricaded in the cities atop the pile there in the government, and I'm talking about state governments, local governments, state governments, the federal government, those that are insulated behind the steel gates seem intent on a provocation to rebellion. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us. And, it's almost like a provocation, and those of us who have cooler heads, although I'm usually not one, we need to not take the bait. But when you start reading and hearing stories about what's happening on the ground in Tennessee and Eastern Georgia and Western Georgia, Western North Carolina, you start questioning the motivations of people. And, here, let me just give you this story from, this is from an ex post by Ryan Tyre talking about the FEMA response. He says, if you're wondering why citizens are being turned away by FEMA, and by the way, so we're being told that people are trying to bring relief and are being turned away by FEMA, but we don't actually know that. That's a story that's being put out there by someone. I don't know who. And so I've tried to check, and because you can't trust the pictures you see or what you hear, you can't trust any of that anymore. And so I have tried to see if I can tell what's actually happening, and I've decided that I really can't. But I'll tell you what Ryan Tyre posted, and having been able to check on as much of this story as I can, this just has the flavor or the smell of truth. He says, if you're wondering why citizens are being turned away by FEMA in North Carolina and Tennessee in active flood zones where people are actually stranded and could die, could actually die of starvation and thirst, right? That's bad. That's a bad situation. Well, Ryan is, he's worked a number of disasters. He worked Hurricane Irma, where he said he coordinated trucks full of supplies. And they were ready, but he was informed that the semi-trucks were to be turned around. This was in Florida. Hurricane Irma. He says the reason that FEMA gave him was that the donations he was bringing in were not from companies on FEMA's preferred vendor list. Vendor. So FEMA has vendors, which that's kind of odd. Because it seems like emergency responses would generally be ad hoc operations worked with whoever had the stuff in the local. A lot of times it's local people who, because they're right there, right? Well, he says, it was at this point that I realized this is all about money. These preferred vendors are getting part of the money being released by the state and federal government for each disaster. And in return for getting compensation for the services they render, they give kickbacks to bureaucrats at FEMA. And so this might not be a well-organized conspiracy against the American ideal and patriots. And this could be all about the way this racket has been constructed. Over the years, it eventually turns into such a giant theft operation that the bureaucrats will actually stop aid from coming in to actually save people's lives because they're not getting the skim. Because eventually it all becomes about the skim. That's the thing about theft. And that's why God compares it to murder. Anyway, this Ryan Tyre says they would rather let people suffer so they can get their kickbacks. It's worse than that, Ryan. They're not even thinking about people suffering. They have no relationship to reality. They're ensconced in apartments high atop buildings in cities. They have no idea what's going on in Western North Carolina. I mean, they don't watch it on CNN, but that's just TV. Okay, so this event, and so I remember in early 2020, January, February, I remember not comprehending the severity of what was happening around the coronavirus, because I just never thought what could happen. I never thought what happened could have happened before it happened. I would have never thought that. And so I may be misunderstanding the severity of what's happening around this hurricane response. That this could be perceived by enough people as enough of a provocation to lead to some very unpleasant things for people who deserve to have some very unpleasant things happen to them. Mainly having them being voted out of office and have to get a real job. Although none of them will ever have to get a real job, because they've sold their soul. And one of the deals was, you'll never have to get a real job. You'll always have a foundation or a government agency to fall back. That's why Alejandro Mayorkas, he should be strung up on a light pole like Mussolini at some point in the not too distant future. He will not be. Because he will end up a professor at a university. All right, so from there, let's go to... So we've done the FEMA vendor kickbacks. Just disgusting. So, anyway, but you know why that has the smell of truth and reality to it? Is because that's really how things go. And most people are really concerned mostly about stuffing money in their pockets. That's so many people's main motivation is the acquisition of money. And so we shouldn't assume that it's a conspiracy based on... I remember, as a matter of fact, the conversation I had with Bob Enyart around 2010 when I said, I'm worried that Barack Obama is going to overthrow America because he's a true believer. It's not really, it's all about his ideology. And Bob was like, no, actually, I think he's mostly probably about money. He probably wants to get really rich and have a really, really nice house and then get richer. And it turns out Bob was right. Now, one of the side effects of Barack Obama enriching himself is the destruction of America, which Bob never doubted that could happen. But he said, don't think it's about ideology. It's really about money and fame and hanging out with the Hollywood type. Yeah, right? Okay. So speaking of Alejandro Mayorkas and the light pole and all of that, we go to Border Patrol Section N-17, a sector of the United States-Canadian border. The Canadian border, I said, where everybody speaks English, eh? This particular section, and I made up that sector for security reasons. I don't want to give away the actual sector. We're going to call it the N-17 sector there. It's in, well, I don't want to say what state. We'll pretend it's in New Hampshire because why not? Because New Hampshire doesn't border Canada, does it? Actually, it does, I think. I believe New Hampshire does border Canada, but we're not going to say it's in New Hampshire. In fact, it could be in New York, Vermont, or New Hampshire, this sector. Maybe it's in all. Anyway, this particular sector of the Canadian border, they have detained nearly 20,000 illegal immigrants this year. That's more than the past 17 years combined, all in one year, in a sector of the northern border. The illegals originate from at least 97 different countries, indicating that this is not an invasion of jihadists or Chinese military. These are people being imported by the racketeers to get the skim. That's what this is evidence to me. And so more than the past 17 years combined. It's and so, by the way, they captured 20,000. That means at least 100,000 got away if they captured 20. That means 100,000 were successfully fed into the NGO government racket machine, and low-level bureaucrats and people who work for charities, quote-unquote, they all got their $1.50, $2.50, a penny here, a penny there, and if you can do it a million times, it turns into real money. And the racket has just gotten so big that the import of illegals is just extraordinary and shocking. But all they meant to do when they started was just steal a few nickels and dimes here and there and bring in a few Mexicans. That's all. And we were all helping. They came to do good, and they've done very well indeed. Okay. So from there, we go, where do I want to go? Do I go to the fake religion file? Before we go to fake religion, let's go to some real religion. Because Fred and I over at Real Science Radio, we have been debunking Professor Dave on YouTube. And I've been encouraged to go on YouTube and talk to some of the heathens that we've attracted. And so since the point of Real Science Radio and this show and hopefully everything I do is to be a minister of Jesus Christ for the gospel, I have gone online and talked to some of the atheists who are cursing and screaming and fussing about Fred and I questioning Professor Dave's, debunking of the Bible and what the Bible says about creation and God and all that. And so I had a fellow named Ian. Ian asked me specifically, because I made a comment, I can't remember. I said something like, Jesus loves you. I said words to that effect. And Ian demanded evidence that God, he demanded evidence for God. He demanded for evidence. In fact, he demanded independent, verifiable, empirical evidence that Jesus Christ ever even existed, that God created mankind, that the Abrahamic God is God. What else did he ask for evidence about? I think that's it. Well, and that's an awful lot. And so I answered Ian. I said, first of all, I said, Ian, I appreciate you taking the time to write, because I do appreciate Ian taking the time. And so you asked for independent, verifiable, empirical evidence. And I said, well, my being concerned for you being saved from hell. Oh, that's right. I said, I posted that to all you people who are mad at us for taking on Professor Dave. I just want to let you know that you're a bunch of filthy sinners, but Jesus offers you salvation from certain death, which is imminent. And Ian demanded evidence. So I said, Ian, my being concerned for you and your demanding evidence about it is evidence in itself that we're both intelligent, morally capable beings. And this, Ian, is evidence that an intelligent, moral being created mankind. There's no logical alternative to an eternal God. Maybe you people have heard me do this one before. I won't go into all the details. And I went on to say that the Bible is the best evidence that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is in fact the Most High God, since you asked about the Abrahamic God. And he's also the logically necessary creator that I referred to earlier. Now, as to evidence that Jesus ever even existed at all, which Ian asked for evidence that Jesus ever even existed at all, I said, Ian, doubting the existence of Jesus is like doubting the existence of Alexander the Great, who I'm certain you don't doubt existed, but Alexander doesn't accuse you of your sin. Also, the year, Ian, 2024, is evidence, because that year is based on an estimate of the birth year of Jesus Christ. And then also, there's the fact that he's the most famous person in all of history ever. That's a hint that he actually existed. So I actually gave him three hints there. Three. Now, are any of them independently verifiable, empirical, undisputed? The fact that he's the most famous person of all time in all of history, and even Ian had heard of him, to me, that's incontrovertible evidence that Jesus, yes, indeed, actually existed. And then Ian had closed by saying, don't worry about me going to hell. I don't believe in hell. And so I said, Ian, if hell is real, it doesn't matter what you believe about it. Remember, the terrorists in Lebanon last month sincerely believed they were being paged. Cutting, but I wonder if Ian will even get that. And then I closed with the whole point, really. Ian, Jesus Christ not only accuses you of your sin, he died to pay for it, and he offers you forgiveness and eternal life. Admitting you are a sinner and asking forgiveness requires humility. If you don't have enough humility yet, I pray that life will continue to humble you until you find it. And that's the thing about life, Ian, is that it will continue to humble you. And hopefully at some point, this seed that I've planted will be watered by someone else and will flower in your repentance and salvation from the death, eternal condemnation, and an eternity of conscious suffering and pain that awaits you. God is merciful. God is good. Lord have mercy. I wish you would. It's the Weekly Worldview. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thanks for sticking with us, Ian, long enough to... I usually don't comment on YouTube and all of that. But I'm... Since it is a gospel outreach with Professor Dave and all of his people there. And so from there, by the way, that was Real Religion. That's where you, when you get the attention of unbelievers, you preach the gospel to them. Even though they'll make fun of you and laugh at you, and when you call them a sinner, they'll be offended, and that turns them off. But that is the recipe that Paul gave us to preach the gospel. First, you tell them they're a sinner, and then you tell them that Jesus offers them salvation. That's Real Religion. Now let's go to the Fake Religion file, where last week Donald J. Trump offered a prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel and posted it on social media. Not a prayer about Saint Michael the Archangel, like praying, Lord, please let the angel, the Archangel Michael protect us when we go to Butler, Pennsylvania next week. So we know Trump didn't pray that because he surrounded himself with bulletproof glass. Which, by the way, if I'm Donald Trump and I'm wanting to show people how tough and brave I am, I'm not going to surround myself with bulletproof glass at my return to Butler. I'm just going to go there and hang it out. But he didn't do that because Donald Trump is a baby boomer. And baby boomers don't have what it takes. That's why they lost the country to the criminally insane sex cult. Not all of them, but Donald Trump chief among them. The bulletproof glass. That was weak. Weak! I'm sorry. All right, and worse than that, though, he's praying to the Archangel Saint Michael. How can an archangel be a saint, by the way? That's got to be a Catholic thing. They're so confused over there. And the funny thing is, Trump's not even a Catholic. He's an Episcopalian. And Episcopalians, they don't even know what they are. They just know they go to church and that you have to wear pants and skirts above the knee. Below the knee, I'm sorry. That's all they know. And tithe. They know that church is for social interaction. And they know church has its place. And they put church in its place. And that's probably why Donald Trump is celebrating Michaelmas. Michaelmas, that's right. Have you heard of this? He asked. It's extremely attractive. Mm-mm. Audio engineer. I was not familiar with Michaelmas. It's like Christmas, but it's for St. Michael, the Archangel. I would just go with Michael the Archangel. I would not designate the Archangel a saint. I'm going to cross that out. Let's see. Trump shared his public invocation on X. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. Trump claims he prayed to Michael the Archangel. Now, Trump's only saving grace here is that he didn't actually pray this. He's lying. So at least he didn't commit that blasphemy. But then again, lying about praying to the Archangel, that's probably right up there just about as bad. He continued his prayer, alleged prayer. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls of men. So this prayer is based on so many misunderstandings and lies about God and the Bible and history and everything. It's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing that the Catholic Church is the biggest church, Christian church in the world. And it's embarrassing that the Episcopalian Church even exists if this is what they pray. It's just embarrassing. Yeah, Catholics, Michaelmas, is it Catholic? Well, they say Catholics celebrate the Feast of the Guardian Angels, plural, on October 2nd. The specific prayer Trump offered was composed in 1886 by Pope Leo XIII. And is still prayed by many Catholics and some Christians and even heathens seeking to bamboozle the faith community. So this is Trump's way of relating to evangelicals. This is how biblically and religiously illiterate Donald Trump is. This is how little religion actually means to him. And religion means more to Trump than God. But this is how little religion means to him. Is that he recites a Catholic prayer in order to bamboozle Protestant evangelicals. And what's worse, it appears to work. Everybody thinks he's going to make America great again. He's God's equivalent of Cyrus, who's going to rebuild Jerusalem. That's Donald Trump, right? Just embarrassing. Who is Donald Trump really? Well, you know, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And from the Queering of America file, TMZ reports Kid Rock, Ric Flair, and Donald Trump Jr. all appeared together last weekend at a concert and campaign fundraiser in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, you might have a couple of questions. Your first question would be, who's Ric Flair? Why is that name even in the headline? Well, Ric Flair is a wrestler from the 1980s, as best I recall. And he was quite flamboyant. And he had a lot of muscles. And he wrestled. He pretended to wrestle in the ring. And he became famous for all that. And so for whatever reason, he's together with Donald Trump Jr., who you do know. And Kid Rock, who you may or may not be familiar with. And the event that they all appeared at together was hosted by the Log Cabin Republicans. They call themselves the largest organization representing homosexual, gay, bisexual, transgendered, and otherwise sexually perverted conservatives and their straight allies who support fairness, freedom, and equality for all Americans. And who doesn't support that? Fairness, freedom, and equality for all Americans, especially the fags. And so Donald Trump Jr. and Kid Rock and Ric Flair. Now, Kid Rock and Ric Flair, of course, you would assume that they have no moral standards at all. Donald Trump Jr., you find out, oh, him too. And now how does this happen? Oh, Kimberly Guilfoyle was there. She was dressed as a woman, from what we are told. That's what it looks like in the pictures. And so why is it that Donald Trump Jr. feels it necessary to rub elbows with perverts? Well, former First Lady Melania Trump has hosted multiple fundraisers for the log cabin sex perverts just during this election cycle. In fact, Melania Trump has come out this, well, I mean, she hasn't come out. I don't mean to imply. I mean, of course, you never know, right? These days. But she's come out with a memoir, is what the headline says. She's come out with a memoir, which is someone writing falsely about themselves and leaving out all the bad, embarrassing stuff. That's what a memoir is. A memoir is a lie one writes about oneself, and typically the way you know it's a lie is because you typically pay someone else to write it and then claim you wrote it, so, which is what Melania did. She paid someone else to write a memoir, then she, which she left out all the bad, embarrassing stuff. The stuff that would make her look bad, she left out. And then she paid someone else to write it, claim she wrote it. They call it a memoir, and now it's out there, and it'll make her some money, which she doesn't really need, so I don't know. She obviously didn't write it for the money. She wrote it so that she could make herself look good and put all the good stuff out there and leave all the bad stuff out and then hope that that's what is remembered about her, which it will be for about 5 minutes. But then for all of eternity, everything's going to come out about Melania. But in her memoir, Melania came out with in her unbridled support for a woman's personal right to either have a child or kill a child. Yes. Personal right, she says. It is imperative, says Melania Trump, to guarantee that women have the autonomy in deciding their preference of having children or killing them. Oh, well, I put the and killing them part in there. She left that out. That's the quiet part. Melania is good at not saying the quiet part out loud. So she left out the part about killing them. Also, earlier when I read her support for a woman's personal right to either have a child or kill a child, the editors here at Just the News, they said have an abortion. I said kill a child because I'm not leaving out the stuff that's embarrassing and makes you look bad. I'm going to include that. So Melania says you should be able to have a child or kill a child based on your own convictions, free from any intervention or pressure from the government. She sounds like a froth-at-the-mouth leftist. Why? Because she is. She just doesn't want the government to take any more of her husband's tax money. So that makes her a conservative. And she downloaded all of Kid Rock's latest material, which, you know, that makes you a conservative. And she parties with the log cabin Republicans because she believes in fairness and equality and all of that. She writes in her memoir, well, she didn't write it, but she did pay this person to write it and then authorize the release of the following. Quote, why should anyone other than the woman herself have the power to determine what she does with her own body or the body of a defenseless child that she either wants to have or to kill?
Did you hear?
So, well, I'm adding that quiet part. Okay. She left that part out.
Defenseless. You add that?
I added that, of course. Okay. She would never say that. Okay. She would never talk about the body of a defenseless child. She would only talk about her body and the body of people who are baby killers or who have killed their children but might still buy her book. So she wants to appeal to them. And so she goes on to talk about in this statement, oh, did I tell you the parts I've added? I think you can probably tell. But she says, or her ghostwriter said, a woman's fundamental right to her own life grants her the authority to terminate her pregnancy if she wishes. Damn it! That's right. So she says a woman has to have the right to kill a child who she wants to kill, or if she's being pressured to kill the child by the child's father, we need to preserve that right as well. But Melania's ghostwriter didn't include that part. No, that's the quiet part. Melania is very good at not saying the quiet part out loud. They left that part out. So Melania also accepted from her memoir any record of the children that she personally killed over the years during her career as a slut and a model. The children she killed, she left that part out of the memoir. That will be included when the books are open on Judgment Day, if there are any of those, and I don't want to imply there ever were. I can't imagine why Melania Trump, at the age of like 60 years old, 55, 60 years old, she's had one kid her whole life, strutting around like a slut, half naked, for 30 years. How is she such a rabid froth-at-the-mouth supporter of abortion at this point in her career when she's supposed to be the conservative savior of America's wife? Why can't she? You'd think she'd just shut up about it, but she can't. You know why? Because she's struggling with guilt issues over all the kids of her own that she killed so that she could keep her figure, so she could keep her gig as the half-naked slut strutting around having people take her picture before she married a relatively vulgar billionaire, which was a career stepping stone. Heartless, cold, evil woman. But she's going to make America great again. By the way, the Trump campaign had Scott Pressler on the stage in Butler, Pennsylvania. You know, Trump came back to the exact spot. He said, I'm going to come back to the exact spot, and I'm going to stand there and show you what I'm made of. Wrapped himself in bulletproof glass. And he invited Scott Pressler up to lisp and just disgusting. All right. So there. Everyone's very impressed with you, Don, from there we go to the real news file. And this was a story I noticed a while back, but I didn't talk about it because I was wondering, why did this guy notice this? Anyway, I went back. I never even printed this story out. I never even saved the story, but I remember reading it back in March. A Wharton professor claimed on X that the modern economy rests on a single road in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. The road runs between two mines that are the sole suppliers of quartz, the pure quartz required to make the crucibles needed to refine silicon wafers. Basically, all of our computer chips in the whole world are made with crucibles made out of the quartz from these mines in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. There are no alternative sources known, said Ethan Mollick, a Wharton professor, in his article, in his post. This past weekend, Helene dumped torrential rains and unleashed devastating floods, pulverized towns all around Spruce Pine, and Spruce Pine didn't make out so well. As of last report, the mining operation and the facility that actually ships out the high-quality quartz, they still had no power after a week, but the Sibelco mining facilities report that they had relatively minor damage. None of their inventory was damaged, and they hope to be shipping within a week. So the global economy will not collapse because of that reliance on one. Isn't it funny how civilization, we don't realize how fragile things are. But they are relatively fragile. And we're all facing imminent, relatively sudden death when you stop and think about it. I mean, even if you're 25 years old and you're healthy, I mean, when you look at the scale of just recorded history of about 5,000 years, your relatively short 70 to 80 year life is, I mean, the end is imminent. I mean, you know, you don't need to be a guy with a sandwich board. The end is near to realize that the end is near, because it is near. And so, speaking of that, oh, look at this headline. Is it just a coincidence that the comet of the century is flying through the sky just as the biggest Middle East war suddenly explodes? That's from J.D. Rucker, who's a relatively vulgar heathen who gives lip service to Christianity because it's good for his business as a news aggregator over there at thelibertydaily.com. And he writes in the small, after the giant headline, is it a coincidence, a comet of the century, the Middle East war? He's got the big headline. And then in the tiny print underneath, he says, the short answer is yes, it's probably just a coincidence. I generally don't believe in coincidences, but... And then he goes on about how I could make the leap because I do believe in signs from heaven as the Bible describes. And have you heard about this war in the Middle East? And there's a comet. Anyway. Rucker then links to an article by his reliable end times hysteric Michael Snyder, who everything this guy says is just an utter lack of understanding of the Bible. And we're going to find out, by the way, that it was a lack of understanding of the Bible that was central to almost every stupidity and every man-made human tragedy that occurred throughout history. Almost all of it was based on a misunderstanding of the Bible. Or an ignorance of, worse, an ignorance of the Bible or a misunderstanding of the Bible is... Anyway... And Michael Snyder, the End Times Hysterics, says, I do not believe this is a coincidence that the all-out war and the comet of the century and the Ring of Fire solar eclipse, oh, I didn't even know about the eclipse, wow, and the fall festivals of Israel, they're all happening at the same time. I detail all of this in my brand new book entitled Be Very Afraid, The End is Near, but buy this book, part two. Anyway, so hopefully you'll have time to read it before the end comes. All right, now. So do I have anything else here? Oh, the Chinese electric vehicles could be weaponized. That's right. There's software and components embedded in electric vehicles that can act as a gateway for data to flow in either direction, meaning the Chi-Coms can load up the streets with them and then shut them all down, gridlock the streets. Anyway, the UK government is rapidly and mindlessly procuring EVs for the public sector in order to satisfy their religious obligations and are putting the entire civilization in danger of being hijacked by the Chi-Coms at any moment. But they're doing it because the cars are relatively cheap. Meanwhile, finally, everyone's been on the edge of their seat. The cause of death has been revealed for rapper Rich Homie Quan. I know you were waiting for this, right? Everyone's been wondering, how did 33-year-old rapper Rich Homie Quan die last month? We were all so shocked. Well, the medical examiner says a slew of drugs such as fentanyl, alprazolam, codeine, and promethazine were all in his system in significant quantities, and they are believed to have all contributed to his cause of death. THC was also found, and other substances... And the other substances, not the THC. The THC did not cause his death. It was all the other. So how can you say that's an editorial opinion? How do we not know that Rich Homie Quan wasn't just so stoned he forgot what other pills he took and that's how he ended up dying? So the THC probably was a key factor in the cloudiness of Rich Homie Quan's mind as he succumbed. And that's it for the Weekly World. See, I told you. You think you're somebody, you're 33, you're strapping healthy, you're taking pills, and boom, you meet God. So the end is near. And that's the Weekly World View. Should the Lord, Terry will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.